All right, we got Coach Matt Bergen with us. How are we doing, Matt? Can you hear us?
How are you?
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this thing? We briefly explained it last week. Fighters only. It's going to be dealing with something called Yeti Coin. What's that all about?
Fighters only is only fighters is what we're doing. So okay. It's different. It's different. I just want to make sure that people don't get confused.
Okay.
Fighters only is something completely separate from what I have. So only fighters is basically the similar concept to what OnlyFans is, except non-sexual and based specifically for MMA fighters. And I've changed it around a little bit to make it so it's more beneficial for the fighters, and so that way we can help them to build more of a following and get subscribers and get more opportunities, more money, et cetera, et cetera. And we were supposed to launch on the 5th, and things just didn't work as planned with the website. So we have an expert with coding that is going to be working on it, and as soon as it's ready, it will be launched. And it's going to probably be like a little bit of a surprise launch, but what we are going to be having is pre-orders available on the website, so anybody that orders it during the month of March before we actually launch is going to get an extra 3 months for free of their fan account. And then any of the fighters that sign on, instead of the 80-20 split like OnlyFans does, what we're giving them is a 90-10 split, and then different bonus opportunities, and you know, we're going to have champions and different ways where they can compete with each other and collaborate and cross promote. And yeah, we got a lot of parts moving, but.
All right. And have you had the actual discussions with the fighters that you're going to have participate?
Yeah, and we're still growing with getting more fighters on board and getting the word out there. So we are actively open to getting more fighters on board. But right now, we're currently at about 25 from across the U.S., actually across the world, because we have somebody that's in Africa who's a pro fighter, and I think that's going to be huge, because it's going to be pretty easy to make him a success story, and then, you know, we're going to continue growing as we grow, and continue networking and reaching out and getting more people on board. The more the better, because that's what's going to make it work efficiently, is being able to get all of the fighters onto this, and then getting the fans, all the MMA fans that we can, into this platform, and then being able to use the cross-promotion systems that we have in place to be able to help the fighters build more of a following and more of a fan base with the people who are already interested in the sport. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, you had talked to me a little bit about it, and you mentioned Yeti Coin. What is Yeti Coin, and when's it going to the moon? That's all I
know. So, hopefully soon it will go to the moon. Hopefully soon. I'm not going to say it's going to be next week or next year or anything like that.
You got to get Elon to tweet about it.
What?
You got to get Elon Musk to tweet about it, then you'll be all set.
Yeah, exactly. Once Elon finds out, it'll be good. But what I'm hoping is that with this Only Fighters platform, promoting it and accepting it as a form of currency to allow the fans to be able to subscribe up to fighters, I believe that is going to raise the value of it, raise the awareness of it, and, you know, that's when it's going to go to the moon.
All right.
And so, the way that the website's going to be set up, and this is one of the biggest reasons I needed a coding expert to come in, is because I'm setting it up so that way when the fans engage with the content, they're able to be rewarded with Yeti Coin for logging in, for liking a post, for commenting, for watching a video all the way through, and, you know, all that different stuff. And, you know, just anything that I can possibly reward them for for utilizing the platform I want to do. So there's probably going to be more ways added on, and there's going to be different, you know, weekly giveaways with Yeti Coin, monthly giveaways as well in bigger amounts. And so it's basically just a reward token, or, you know, cryptocurrency, but I was told reward token is the proper terminology for it, because it's like a gray area or whatever to accept it as a currency. But I don't care. I'm going to accept it as a currency because it's my platform. So I want to do that.
All right.
It's a cryptocurrency that helps youth organizations, and it actually rewards you for holding it. And so every day I'm getting more and more as a result of just holding it, because every transaction that happens, every time someone buys it or sells it, a percentage is taken out and burned out of existence. So there's less in supply every day, and then a percentage is taken out and redistributed to everybody who owns it. And so you're going to get more every day as a result of holding, and then there's more people finding out about it every day. And then there's less in existence every day. So all of those things point towards the supply and demand principles that should increase scarcity and increase the value.
Wow.
And by it being usable for things through OnlyFighters, it's going to be even more, you know, worthwhile to have.
That's interesting, you know, because... You know, I'm very familiar with Bitcoin. I've invested in it a little bit here and there through PayPal and Venmo. They have their offerings. And my favorite has been Ethereum, you know, basically because of the NFT craze. And that's, I think, what's kept it alive, you know, even though that the whole Facebook Meta thing is not working out at this point. You know, the NFTs are still being sold.
Give it a shot.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ethereum, what I like about that is it's actually usable. Like, you need it, you know, virtually to buy any crypto or send any crypto for the most part if it's on the Ethereum blockchain. So it has a use, and so that is, you know, definitely a
good. And the guy who runs it, too.
Have it.
I remember reading last year, he figured out a way to make it so that the mining of it is less intensive with the electrical and all that, you know, because the big complaint about Bitcoin is that to mine it, it takes so much energy. And there was a guy that was just busted in a school in Massachusetts for having a setup for mining in the crawl space at a school. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like a janitor or something, and it was such high bills that they okay. found them, and you know, so they've been trying to figure out ways to make it more green and make it more practical for people to mine it without just wrecking the power grid, basically. Not wrecking it, but like straining it.
Right.
But yours, Yeti Coin,
you know, that's one of.
Sounds like a really interesting theory where, you know, I know Bitcoin, there's just a finite amount and that's it. Once that's reached, that's it. They're not going to create anymore. So the idea of some taken out of existence, that's new.
Yeah. And then the fact that you get more every day as a result of holding. That is another bonus to it.
It would seem those two principles would counteract each other, though, you know, in the long run. But I guess they've got it figured out. These are smart guys.
Well, I think they're going to work together more so than counteract each other.
Right.
Just like, you know, supply and demand. Like, if we look at the U.S. dollar, for example, you know, 40% of all the U.S. dollars that exist created in the last like 3-4 years, so, and most of that's all virtual anyway, so we're basically on digital money.
Yep.
This is just another form of money, except instead of it being watered down by adding 40% more of it, you know, making each one worth less, we're taking away a little bit off of each transaction to create less and less of a supply, which should in turn create a higher demand and a lower scarcity, and, you know, or make it more scarce and higher demand, et cetera, so that way the value goes up.
Now, how did you get wind of it in the first place?
I found it originally through Twitter, and I found the Telegram chat through there, and I followed that for a little bit, and then I just kept buying more and more of it as time went on, and I liked how much I was gaining from holding it, so I would buy more. And then as I created this Only Fighters idea, I had decided to reach out to the person who created Yeti Coin, the founder of it, and I created this partnership with him to be able to use the reward token within the platform and be able to make it, you know, redeemable for cash bonuses, for subscriptions to fighters, for different, you know, things, however I can use it. And they were completely cool with it, and not only that, but he loved the idea so much that he told me whatever I give out as a reward, he's going to just send to me. So it's going to cost me nothing to reward the fans.
Awesome.
Because it's all Yeti Coin is covering the rewards that are going to be giving out. So that's going to be huge. And I'm glad that they're on board with this because, I mean, I could have partnered with really any cryptocurrency, but with this one being specific to fitness,
right,
I figured it was a better match. And then the fact that it has the scarcity, you know, and then the increase, you know, supply that you hold in your wallet every day. I like the feeling of having more and more every day. And I feel like the fans are going to enjoy that as well, because we're going to have that same feature added in to where for every day, based on, because I've been doing the statistics every day for Yeti Coin, how much you gain per billion that you hold, how many holders there are, how many are left in existence, and, you know, the hourly burn rate, the 24-hour burn rate, and, you know, it's just a matter of applying these numbers to the total that they're going to have in their account. And then, so they're going to be getting the rewards, essentially, through the platform,
right,
that they would be getting from holding through their Coinbase or whatever, but instead that they're holding it on Only Fighters. So,
great.
Hopefully that made sense.
Now, as far as the name Only Fighters, does that mean it's going to be all type of fighters, like MMA, boxing, bare knuckle?
Yeah, it's mostly going to be specific to MMA. However, it is going to be open to all kinds of combat athletes. I want to make sure to have some jiu-jitsu athletes in there. I want to have, you know, some boxers, kickboxers, and some, you know, Muay Thai. And, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I've had some interest from some people who do, like, news reporting and interviews with fighters that they want to have their own account. And, you know, so I don't think there's really any limit to what can be done with this.
Right.
But it needs to be the focus of making sure it helps the fighters. And that's the number one priority I have with it, is to make it so that way the fighters can not have to work a 9-to-5 job, but rather be able to just train and be able to just fight and make a living doing that. And so, you know, this is the idea that, you know, I came up with to help make it work. And so whenever a fan wants to subscribe to a fighter, in order for them to subscribe to any fighter, they first need to get what's called a fan account. And so on the fan account is where we're going to be doing the cross promotions and where we're going to have contests, where we're going to have the fighters be able to compete against each other, and where they're going to be able to post their content as well for all of the audience to see within the platform. And then they're going to be able to post onto their specific accounts that people are going to need to be able to subscribe to view it. But anyways, my plan for this year, and I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to get there yet, but I am determined to get 1 million people onto this platform having fan accounts, and I'm going to have an average of 10,000 subscribers to every fighter. That is my plan. That is the goal. That is what I'm making happen, and it's just one step at a time, but it'll get there.
Awesome. Yeah, I kind of am on the same wavelength. I haven't really done much with it, but I created a website called paythefighters.com. And right now it's just a blog. Okay. It's got kind of a couple old posts on it. But I got into that trend because of a friend of mine, John Scully. He's a former boxer. And we've interviewed him probably about 4 or 5 times on the show over the years. And I've met him in person. Went to a boxing reunion that he held in Boston a few months ago. And what he does is he has started to do auctions right on Facebook because he has so many followers in the boxing world. I had actually talked about editing his book years ago. He wants to write called The Iceman Diaries. That's his nickname. And
okay.
And so what he does is he'll get like autographed items and you know, from the boxing world with certificates of authenticity and everything like that, or he'll have a picture of him taken getting the autograph with the fighter, and then he'll auction them off on Facebook, and he gives the money directly to the down and out fighters. The one in particular,
okay.
guy that he gives it to is like really dealing with a lot of health issues, and you know, there's like 4 or 5 rock solid people that always need help that he gives the money directly to. And I actually volunteered a Mike Tyson glove that I got signed while I was in Vegas. And I had a whole story behind it too, because when I was out there, I actually went out and bought a set of gloves to use one of them to have them signed, because I signed up for like a paid event where you just, you know, get in line and you give him the glove and he signs it. So I picked a signature series Muhammad Ali glove, and Muhammad Ali happens to be John Scully's favorite fighter of all time. A lot of people's. Anyway,
wow.
So I had the Muhammad Ali signature was written on it in like print. It was printed on the glove. But it looks real. It looks like somebody could have done it with a white marker. So I knew that would be kind of a marketable thing. And I also wanted to tell Tyson that, you know, I watched the Arsenio Hall show when he was on with Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali said he would have whooped him, you know, and I did when I met Tyson and had him sign the glove. But the funny thing was, when I went to the event, they tried to give you a glove to get him to sign. It was like, you know, one of those little kiddie sets of gloves, and it was just like one of the pair that they wanted you to get signed. And I was like, no, you guys can keep that. I got my own glove. And I asked Mike to be on our show when I went up and talked to him. And it was funny because he was like, I don't know, man. And I gave my business card to his bodyguard there, but I'm sure he never even looked at it. But, yeah, it was good to meet him, shake his hand. Yeah, maybe one day. But yeah, actually meeting him was pretty cool. And then I gave the glove to John Scully, and I don't know if he's beaten the number that he got out of any one item, but he ended up getting, because I really promoted the crap out of his post too, but he ended up getting $2,500 for the glove. And he even asked me if I wanted anything. I paid $300-something for it. I think $350, $380, something like that, without even getting a picture of me meeting Mike. I got like a video before I stepped up to shake his hand, but I paid for it, and I didn't even ask for a dime back. And it went to like three different fighters. Two of them, I mean, one of them actually was paralyzed in a fight.
Oh, wow.
And so they just basically send him money to pay for his medical expenses. It was a good feeling to know that, you know, I was helping doing something to help sustain, you know, a guy that really put it all on the line out there and, you know, gave everything he had to the sport. And, you know, now the sport's able to give back to him in ways like that. And then Mike Tyson found out about the $2,500 glove, and now him and Scully are, you know, really good friends, and Mike actually signed recently a bunch of artists' renditions of his face. Like, this guy did a pencil drawing of his face, you know, with a big tattoo and stuff. And so he just sold a bunch of those. And there was a clip after Mike Tyson's exhibition fight with Roy Jones Jr. where he was talking to reporters, and he actually mentions John Scully. He goes, yeah, Scully, he's got all the numbers. You know, he's a great networker, John Scully. So the reason why I mention him and bring him up is he's probably somebody you want to reach out to. I'll give you his information for sure, and then you know he could probably help you get boxing people on board.
I feel like we probably help each other out for sure, because that could be a good cause for Only Fighters to be a part of as well.
Yep.
And I know I want to do things with this, like obviously help the fighters, but I also want to be able to do things like plant trees, be able to donate food to people, and just good causes, things like that, that are going to make a difference in the world and make a positive change.
Awesome.
But I had never thought about helping injured fighters before who are, you know, down and out like that. That's a really good idea, and I would...
Yeah, we talked last week.
I'd love to be a part of that.
They just introduced a bill in California for a pension fund for MMA fighters. And I know they had tried that with boxing before.
I like that.
So, it gave me a good reason to start updating... paythefighters.com, because I wanted to write about that, and then I was going to have you on the show, so we'll post your interview on there, and if you can send me some logos once the site is ready, we'll post up an advertisement on there to be permanently in the sidebar.
Awesome. As soon as everything's ready, I will make sure you're one of the first people to see it.
Awesome. Now, you're handle on Twitter where I found you is Coach Bergen. Does that mean you're a fighter coach, or what's that from?
Yeah, I coach MMA fighters. I did used to fight, but I learned very quickly that I am much better as a coach as opposed to a fighter, because I would do really well in practice, and then when I would go out there, I would just be at like a tenth of my ability, and I don't know if it was like it's definitely something mental for sure, but I don't know if it was like stage fright or being, you know, I don't really know, because I've like been on big before and done things like speaking gigs and motivated people and whatever, but you know, and also when I was in high school and did wrestling, it was the same kind of situation where I would do fantastic in practice and be able to just dominate, but then when I would come to the matches, I would beat myself. And so I realized that instead of just going and keeping getting my ass kicked, I'm gonna just focus on helping people to get better, because I have all this knowledge of it and all this, you know, stuff that I am good at doing and that I know how to do, and it'll be more beneficial to apply it to help others make their way in this sport as opposed to me trying to make something happen with it.
Right. Yeah, so, they say everything happens for a reason, right? With me, I was trying to make a boxing comeback. I was training at the same gym that Muhammad Ali, Marvin Hagler had trained at, with a coach named Goody Petronelli, who you might have heard of. I broke my ankle, so that's curtailed that comeback. Ooh. And actually, one of my last sparring matches was with a guy who ended up winning the New England Golden Gloves, and he broke my rib. So he was obviously going full force and trying to impress people.
Yeah.
But that kind of showed me I was
really good.
Yeah, showed me I was really, you know, needing some more, needing to take it to the next level if I was going to do it. And then I tried to do MMA, and I did a whole week-long training situation up in Maine with a small team up there, and ended up getting shingles. So that killed that comeback. So everything happens for a reason. I kind of had that idea that I was going to get one MMA fight before I turned 45, and I turned 45 last year, and it didn't come along. So I guess it's not happening. But I don't know. Who knows? You know, maybe I set 50 as the deadline, and just do one. Yeah. I would like to just do one. You know, that way I could say I've had boxing. I've done boxing in college and got a bronze medal in the nationals. So if I could do one MMA fight, I think that would be enough. Especially if it was a win. If it was a loss, then it would definitely be one. But yeah, I know the feeling. I probably would be a better coach than that.
4, 5, 3.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a group.
I mean, obviously, like, you can't expect it to be sore either. But it's still possible to make, you know, to have an amateur fight at this age. And, you know, there's probably going to be somebody else that is around your age that would want to do an amateur fight for the first time.
Right.
You know, it's possibilities out there.
Definitely.
So I hope we do have an amateur fight. I would love for you to do that. That would be great. To be able to accomplish that for yourself, because I do think it's something that people should be experienced and just like know what it's like. And you know, I know there's a lot of MMA fans out there that will think they're tough, but they won't actually step into a cage ever or even fight anybody. And I think everybody should at least once know what it's like to be punched in the face. Just to know what it's like.
It was kind of funny because, you know, as a guy who's boxed most of pretty much half my life, really, you know, as far as, you know, not actually competing boxing all that time, but, you know, training in it. When I first kind of came up with the concept of going into MMA, at least in the amateur level, and I started mixing in all the kicks, elbows, and knees. Like, I really had a completely different style than I'd ever seen. You know, it just kind of naturally developed. Like, I was throwing elbows, like, jabs and stuff like that. And I'd never seen any other fighter do that. So I was kind of excited about that aspect of it. And I still would like to try it out.
You know? Yeah. It's
see what I can do.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, getting back to you. What's your ultimate goal with this, with the fighters, only fighters, right?
With only fighters, the ultimate goal is to get to 1 million fans with the fan account, and to get each fighter making an average of at least $10,000 a month, because I want to be able to help them to pay their bills, make a living, and then be able to just focus on training and fighting.
Right.
And I just want to throw in one more thing on Fedecoin. So they have an app that is called Move to Earn that's going to be coming out very, very soon, and I'm hoping it'll be before I launch Only Fighters, because they're in testing and they just have to get it ready for iOS. Right now it's like Android compatible, I believe. And so it's going to allow the fighters to get paid while they train. They're going to get rewarded in Fedecoin for training, essentially. So that's going to
So like a Fitbit that pays you?
Be able to
is that the principle?
So they're going
to
be getting with Fedecoin for training.
Oh, that's awesome.
Doing their workout. So like, yeah, what more could you really want? You know, you're going to be getting paid to train. You're going to be able to get help with building your following, building, you know, your fan base. And we're just trying to do everything possible to help the fighters.
As far as, you know, you talked about a platform and everything, is there a place that people are regularly familiar with, like Coinbase, where people can buy this, or is it like an exclusive setup that only Fedecoin provides itself, kind of like Dogecoin? How's that work?
Okay, the way you would normally purchase it, I have Coinbase, and so you would go to Uniswap. It's a website, and through Uniswap, you would convert Ethereum. Like we were talking about Ethereum before, how it's a use case. It's needed to convert pretty much anything. You would convert Ethereum into Yeti Coin, and then you have the Yeti Coin. So it's a couple steps, but it's pretty easy. And with our platform, it's just going to be given directly to you. You're not going to have to do any conversions. You're not going to have to do anything, you know. You're just going to be able to collect it.
That's good.
So it's going to be simple as possible.
Right now, what I do is, you know, PayPal and Venmo are owned by the same people. I don't know if you realize that, but... So they offer the same three options. They Bitcoin... No, I think there's four options. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and the other one is Bitcoin Cash.
With PayPal and Venmo, with having Ethereum or Bitcoin, is you can't send it anywhere. It's just there.
There's no wallet. There's no wallet. So, and they keep saying they're going to come up with a wallet, and they don't. The worst part is you can't even transfer normally from PayPal to Venmo cash, right? So what I do is I take my PayPal debit card and I buy crypto with it on Venmo, and then I cash it out. So it's like, you know, if I cash it out instantly, I lose the transaction fees. So it's like an ATM fee that I have to pay, you know. But it kind of feels like money laundering when I do it. It's like, oh, Jesus, I got to do all these transactions just to get money from one side to the other. It's nuts.
I know. It's, I'm sure it'll get simpler as time goes on. And, you know, it's already become a lot simpler as, you know, the years have come along. And it's already become more affordable to be able to buy it as well, in terms of, like, the conversion fees and to be able to send it to your own wallet. Like, I remember when I first started playing around with crypto, and it had cost me at one point like $15 to send my own crypto to my own wallet from the crypto.com app to my Coinbase wallet. It cost me like $15 to do that, and it was like, what the fuck is this? But, you know, the thing is, it becomes worth it, essentially, because you're holding on to something that has such a small value that's only going up in price. And, I mean,
It's just, right now it's a tough time for the crypto space, because I guess this bank Silvergate, is having people just abandon it. It got caught up with the FTX situation there. That Sam Bankman-Fried fraudster there.
So messed up everything.
Silvergate was like heavily invested in that. And now everybody's like running out, like leaving them hanging. So like, I just got a notice for some completely different site. It has nothing to do financially with me, but it's like saying that they were dealing with Silvergate, and now Silvergate's having trouble, so they have to cancel some kind of feature they used to have on the website. I forget what it was, but I read about it the other day, and I was like, geez, you know, that's the one thing that sucks about it. I'm glad I was heavily invested. I had like, you know, for me, it was a lot of money. It was like over $1,000 in the three different tokens on there, and then I got out because I ended up needing it for like getting my truck towed off a cliff. I almost fell off of driving in the winter there.
Wow.
I had to cash out like $500 there, and then there was another situation where I needed to cash out some. So it actually kind of worked out in those areas where, like, I kind of forgot about it for a while, and then I had it when I needed it. But yeah, I've really been researching it every time there's a dip or, you know, an escalation. And you always wait for it to really crash hard before you want to get back in a big way. So in some ways it's good if you're not heavily in it and that happens. And then you do get in it, you know. Like, I should have got into Dogecoin when it was nothing. And now it's actually pretty decent. Yeah. A lot of people have made a good amount
of
money in it.
It's about 71 for just, but at one point it did go up to about 70 cents. And like, I caught a little bit of that wave and sold out at about 40 cents when I bought it at about 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like a pretty good return. But I do wish I, you know, made more of an ROI on that, and it's all right. You know, you win some, you learn some, and I still won, so I can't complain much.
Yeah. But,
yeah. I do see a lot of potential with Dogecoin in the future, too, because Elon owns Twitter. I believe that's going to be something that he'll eventually incorporate into the platform somehow, and I'm not sure how, but it'll eventually be something that will grow a lot more in value from the hype of Elon and Twitter, and there's going to be some kind of combination between the three. I just don't know what it's going to be yet, and who knows, the future will tell, but right. That's just what I see happening, and so I think that's another good one to own.
Cool. All right, well, is there anything else you wanted to let everybody know about? You want to tell people where they can find you online, where they can hear about news on the platform?
Twitter at Coach Bergen, CoachBergen, and then onlyfightersmma at gmail.com. If you're a fighter that wants to be a part of this and get in early and get more opportunities to make money, this is the time. So that's where to reach me.
Well, it's funny you mentioned ROI, you know, because our names are really an ROI apart. Rich instead of Coach, R-I, and then E-R. No, R-O.
And there's
you put it R-O in your last name, it's the same as mine. Bergeron and Bergen.
So,
we could be a law firm.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we will keep in touch, and, you know, we'll promote you as best we can, and I'm going to create, like, a separate interview file for this. This is on our main radio show, too, on Spreaker, but we also have Blog Talk Radio. We maintain that because all our old interviews are on that. We don't have, like, enough room to do like a ton of shows on there anymore, but we save it as a platform because they have like 5 years of our show on there and some of our best interviews, so if I don't pay the monthly fee, they just wipe it, so I gotta keep it alive anyway, so we try to put our interviews separate on there.
I get it. Okay. That's fair. Alright.
So we'll post those, and we'll get them out to you, and we'll be keeping in touch.
For sure. And I actually filmed this, so I'm going to create some clips out of it that I'll be tagging you in when I post them out.
Awesome.
Into the world wide web this year. So, yeah.
Now, we used to do it with the video. Remember that, Tony? When we did the webcam stuff?
Yes, I do.
It's the video.
Yeah, my girlfriend was watching a podcast last night. Her son is in a band, and he was on a podcast where they all had video feeds, and it kind of got me thinking of those old days. So we did it with a little Logitech webcam.
Okay.
I used to dress up with.
I feel like it's surprising, and more ability to create content out of my thought process.
Yeah.
So I figured this would be a good way to be able to not only create content to, promote this, but promote the interview as well.
Right.
And so it's creating multiple wins, is my thought. And
ours automatically through Spreaker get published on YouTube, but it's just that we actually have a YouTube page, Fight News Unlimited. That the only content I've been putting on there is these shows, and they get automatically posted, but there's like no graphics. It's just like one symbol of our website, so
just the audio.
Yeah, so it would be nice to
right.
to get some video techniques back into the show. That would be nice. But anyway, great talking to you,
and
we appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for your time and having me on, and we'll keep in touch.
All right. Awesome. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.